While you're taking your seats, go ahead and open your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Psalms, particularly this morning, the 119th Psalm, as we bring the second part of a five-part sermon series on being spiritually fit. If you were here last Sunday morning, you remember that we all took a spiritual to check and see if we were spiritually fit, if we are spiritually healthy. We talked about our appetite. We talked about our spiritual respiratory system. We talked about our circulatory system, our pulse, our heart rate, and then we finished by taking our temperature. We ask you to take these four things and let Jesus, our divine physician, reveal to us this week where we were spiritually with Him. If you'll remember, we used 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, last part of that, through verse 8, and we used J.B. Phillips' translation. We said this three times last Sunday morning. Remember? Take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Did nobody remember that? How many remember that? Take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. You and I know that physically to be healthy, three things are important. First, genetics. We're all dealt a different genetic base. And to a great degree, that determines our physical health. If your family has something in its history, there's a good chance you're going to have it too. Secondly, we know that our diet is very important in being physically healthy. And third, we know that exercise is important to a person who is going to remain physically healthy. Now what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks is we're going to talk about our genetics. And that's not going to take very long. We're going to talk about our diet. That's going to take this morning. And then next Sunday morning, Chris Lawrence is going to teach us how to develop our respiratory system. And then the following Sunday, Corey Cunningham is going to teach us how to develop our circulatory system. And then I'll come back the last Sunday of the month and talk about the last spiritual exercise. For the month of January of 2011, so we are ready for everything that God's going to bring our way as an individual and as a church. We want to take the time and the trouble to keep ourselves spiritually fit. This morning, I want you to open to Psalm 119, and we're going to read verse 129 through verse 136. I have to confess, I know Psalm 119 because when I was a kid at Ledbetter, before we would go to Sunday school, they would ask in the Sunday school class how many of us read our Bible every day and how many chapters we read, and we actually got stars if we read our Bible every day of the week and the person who read the most chapters. Now, at Ledbetter, we had an opening ceremony before Sunday school. You'd come in at 10 o'clock, there would be a Sunday school director, they'd take about 10 minutes, and then you'd go to Sunday school class. Well, you know what I did during that opening assembly? I read more chapters. And I discovered that if you turn to Psalm 120 and read Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, you could get 15 Psalms really quick. And that was 15 chapters. Now, I never read during the Sunday school assembly Psalm 119. Why? Because it had 176 verses in it. Wow. 22 different paragraphs, and each paragraph is longer than some of the Psalms from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. This morning we're going to pick out one particular passage, not to exegete this passage. This month we're preaching a topical sermon series. But as always, we want to make sure that we are biblical. We want to make sure we are grounded. We want to make sure we are sound. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, beginning with verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. This morning, as we think about keeping ourselves spiritually fit, I just want to remind each one of us of our genetic spiritual base. No matter who you were when you were physically born to your mom and dad, and no matter what physical genetics you receive from them or from Adam, the day you were born again, your father is God the Father. Your brother is God the Son. And your helper or your enabler is God the Holy Spirit. Do you realize genetically God is your Father, Jesus is your brother, and the Holy Spirit who lives inside you is your divine enabler, your divine helper? Wow. I just want you to know that spiritually you can't blame anything or anyone on your genetics. Because in the family of God, genetically, we all have the capacity to be spiritually fit. So we will accept in this body no excuses for someone being spiritually unfit. You can't blame it on mama, and you can't blame it on daddy, and neither can you blame it on Adam. Amen? Because everything that was done to you in Adam was redone in Jesus Christ. Now this morning, because we all have the capacity to be spiritually fit, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to talk about that most unpleasant topic, and that is our spiritual diet. Now I remember being a kid and being educated in our school systems, and at that time the USDA had four food groups. And you were supposed to eat so many servings of the four food groups daily. And if you remember, the four food groups were this back years ago. There was meat, fish, and poultry, and beans. Never understood till I got older how beans got in there with the meat and the poultry and the fish. And then you had fruits and vegetables. Remember, fruits and vegetables. And then you had the grains and the wheat, the bread and the cereal food group. And then last, you had dairy. Now in 1978, Denmark, after doing years and years of studying, they switched from a four food group nation to a six food group nation. Being the United States, and of course always being a little rebellious, you know us in world affairs, we adopted the six food groups later. Matter of fact, we didn't adopt the world system of the six food groups until 1992. So now, our kids who are educated in a public school system are being educated differently. They're not being educated in the four food groups, they're being educated under six food groups. And they're broken down this way. You've got your carbohydrates. Then you got your vegetables. Then you got your fruits. Then you got your fats. Then you got your dairy. And then you've got your protein. And I don't know if you've seen a new food pyramid or not, but as you see the new food pyramid, there are six colors, one color assigned to each food group. Carbohydrates, that's the orange group. Vegetables, they're the green group. Fruits, they're the red group. Fats, they're the yellow group. Blue, that's dairy. And then purple, that's meat. And if you look at a physical food group, you'll notice that they're the colors of the rainbow. But as they start at the bottom, you'll notice that each food group is not equal. Because what the USDA is trying to tell us is that we need to eat more of some food groups and less of other food groups. And as a matter of fact, when it comes to the sixth food group of fats, the yellow line is so thin you can hardly see it because they don't want us to have much of that stuff that's really, really, really good. Amen? Now this morning, what I want us to talk about, and I want you to take this seriously, I want us to talk about our spiritual food pyramid. Our spiritual food pyramid. And as we talk about diet, because diet has such an unhealthy connotation to us. I mean, diet just sounds restrictive right off the bat. We're not going to use the word diet very much in this sermon series. But we're going to take this thought because we want to keep ourselves spiritually fit. And we're going to assign our sermon around four questions. First question is this: why should we eat spiritually? Secondly, when should we eat? Thirdly, what should we eat? And fourthly, how much should we eat? So let's begin with question number one. Why should we eat? Now I know some of you are thinking that's a very, very simple question with a very simple answer. But you know what I have noticed? I have noticed that the younger you are spiritually, the less you sometimes understand the need to eat. And it's almost like the same thing happens spiritually that happens physically to us. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but when children are born into this world, they have an insatiable desire for milk. And they want milk, they'll let you know when they want milk. And that's the same way with a newborn Christian. But there comes a point to where when you start to switch a baby from milk to solid food, didn't you have trouble getting your kids to eat? We're struggling with Crowder. Crowder loves to play. Crowder loves life. Crowder loves to be at Mimish and Papaw's, but I want to tell you what Crowder does not like to do. Matter of fact, he'll almost cry when it comes to eating. When we try to put him in his high chair and strap him in, yeah, we have to strap him in, and we put that bib on his chest, his little face just turns a different expression. He can be so happy while he's getting to play, and now he's having to eat, and he dreads eating. You ought to see the exercises we go through. You ought to see the things Papa does to try to make food motivating and tempting and fun for Crowder. And that's what's happening in the church. I think we have a lot of Christians who, like Crowder, had rather play. They had even rather work than to stop and eat. We'll never have a proper view of spiritual food unless we first understand its importance, its necessity. You know what we're always telling Crowder? His dad especially says to Crowder, "Crowder, you want to grow up big and strong? Then what's Crowder got to do? He's got to eat." See, the metaphor is, Crowder, if you don't eat, you're not going to grow up big and strong. So that phrase is used a lot with Crowder. Crowder, you want to grow up? Yeah. Want to eat? No. Why should a believer eat? To grow up and be like Jesus Christ. There's a word that's used throughout the Bible that I think captures why we should eat and how we should eat when we eat. And it's the word meditate. If you remember when Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land before they ever went on their military campaign, he stopped them. He told them to listen to this. And what did he say? You have been given the book of the law. And he said, meditate on it day and night. And then he reminded them that if they would meditate on God's law day and night, when they came into the land, they would be prosperous and they would be successful. Joshua 1:8. The psalmist in the very first psalm of David, chapter 1, verse 2, compares in verse 1 the righteous man to a what? To a tree planted by a river. And then one of the first characteristics of the righteous man who's planted by the river is what? He meditates on God's law. This word meditate, it means to ponder. It means to think over and over on the same thing. It just means to be absorbed with one thought. Now, I hope you don't think I'm reading too much into this or I'm too far out in the field, but whenever I read in the Old Testament the word meditate, I always have this thought. I have the thought of the cow. As a farmer who has cattle, one of the most encouraging sights to me is to come home and to see my cows at the end of the day lying in the field. But as they're lying in the field, they'll all be doing something. They'll be chewing. Now on the farm, we call that chewing the cud. Well, I looked up that word cud, and you know what it literally means? It means the portion of food that goes into the first stomach of a cow, but then is brought back into the mouth of the cow so the mouth can re-chew it, so the cow can re-chew it and re-swallow it. Now you know that guys know that a cow has a series of stomachs, and because of the digestive system of a cow cannot get everything out of grass or hay first time through. So he's got a series of processes that he goes through to break that hay down so that he can get everything out of it that he needs. And one of the things that he does is he chews the cud. In other words, he's chewing what he's regurgitated and brought out of his stomach back in his mouth so that he can break it down some more and get more out of it. And that's the picture I have of meditation. Meditation to me is thought regurgitation and thought digestion. Did you know I read an article this week by the University of Kentucky to where their dairy expert says that the average dairy cow in the state of Kentucky chews the cud 8 hours a day. 30,000 chews. That in a healthy dairy herd, 60 to 70% of the dairy herd should be chewing the cud at the same time. Now, I just thought about that. How much of the day do you spend eating? And would your method of eating be considered chewing the cud? Do you take a bite, swallow it, and then realize, whoa, I didn't get all of that I should have gotten. So you bring it back up. What would happen to Hardin Baptist Church if 60 to 70% of us were chewing our spiritual food at the same time? See, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I didn't think too much about eating. I'd rather play. And even as I grew up and got older, I'll be honest with you, there's days that I can get so absorbed in my work that I don't eat. I'm not bragging, but I'm just telling you, there can be days I can get so caught up in doing what I'm doing that it'll be 3 o'clock in case you'll say, Ricky, you hadn't eaten lunch yet. There'll be times on the farm when Mama will call and it's like, no, we're too busy to eat. And then, when I do eat, I eat way too fast. I swallow my food whole. Any of you haven't been to be told to slow down? Chew more? Now listen to me. Spiritually, we got to eat if we want to grow up into the image of Jesus Christ. And the method of eating I want us to adopt is this. I want us to chew the cud. Now that brings us to this question. When should we eat? If you're a country person, you eat three main meals a day. Breakfast, lunch, and supper. If you're from the city, you too eat three meals a day. Breakfast. Hold on, I messed up. Country, it's breakfast, dinner, and supper. In the city, it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Correct? But you know the meals. And if you really got a good appetite and you're really involved physically in something, you like to get in three snacks. Amen? One between breakfast and dinner, and one between dinner and supper. And there's just something about going to bed on a snack. Amen? Ice cream, Frosted Flakes, Pop-Tarts, Snickers, you know what I'm talking about, right? Now, spiritually, when should you eat? Only you can decide. But let me tell you what I believe is the most important meal of the day for a believer. And that's breakfast. Have you ever looked at the word breakfast? Do you know what the word breakfast means? It's a compound word, break fast. The reason we call the first meal of the day breakfast is because from that last meal we eat till we eat our next meal, there's a fast going on, and your body knows there's a fast going on. So your body naturally slows down. Dietitians will tell you that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. You've got to break that fast. You've got to get something into your body so your body knows that today there's going to be plenty of fuel for whatever you want to do. And the same things happen spiritually. From whatever time you have your last meal on the day before till the time you eat the next day, there's a fast going on spiritually in your life. And what I want to say to you is eat as soon as you can in the morning to get your day started spiritually fit. Now, I personally am a grazer. I personally carry my lunch with me. There will hardly be a time when you'll meet me that I will not have my spiritual food with me. I just pack a Bible with me all the time. And man, if there's ever been a day when it's easy to carry your lunch with you, it's today. I got an iPhone and I have a Bible translation on my iPhone, and I have an iPad and I have a Bible translation on my iPad. When I sit down to my Mac notebook, guess what? I have a translation of the Word of God on my notebook. And I have a hard copy of God's Word. Now, what I want you to think about is when are you going to eat? Now, if we believe that it's important to feed our physical body three times a day, main meals, with three little snacks thrown in, how important is your spirit? How important is your soul? How important is your mind, your emotions, and your will? And making sure that you are feeding your soul spiritually from the Word. So what I want to ask you to do is this. I'm not going to tell you how many times a day to eat. But you got to decide. Am I going to do breakfast? Am I going to skip lunch? Am I going to have supper? Am I going to have three main meals a day and a couple of snacks? You got to decide, and you got to plan. Now, I don't know what your physical schedule is, but most people eat breakfast, you know, between 4:30 and 7 o'clock in the morning. We eat dinner somewhere between 11 and 1, and supper, wow, it can be anywhere from 5 to 9 o'clock. When are you going to eat? You got to discipline yourself for time. Now, thirdly, what are we going to eat? Remember I told you that the USDA has now adopted, since 1992, the Denmark food group. Carbohydrates, vegetables, fruits, fats, dairy and protein. So I'm going to tell you what I've done for you. I have went through our Bible, 66 books, and I have categorized them into 8 food groups. Now, you know the USDA tells you that in the carbohydrate food group and in the meat food group and in this food group, you should have so many servings a day. I want to give to you what I believe are the 8 spiritual food groups so that you can learn to meditate on all 66 books of the Bible. The first food group presented to us in the Bible is the Pentateuch. That's the book of Genesis through Deuteronomy, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. The second food group is the history of Israel, and it runs from Joshua to Esther. The third food group is the wisdom literature. This is Job to the book of Ecclesiastes. The fourth food group, and all 4 of these food groups are in the Old Testament. That does not mean they've expired. They are still profitable for us today. The fourth food group is the prophets. Now, some people break the prophets down into 2 food groups, major and minor. I just refer to them as prophets. I hate to call a guy a minor prophet because he delivered his message quick. Amen? And I hate to call a guy major because it took him a lot longer to deliver his word to Israel. All of the prophets are important to God. The fifth food group is what I call the Gospels, and it begins the New Testament. And that's Matthew to John. And then the sixth food group is the history of the early church. That's the book of Acts. The seventh food group is what I call the letters of the New Testament. Now, there are 3 subgroups of letters. A, there's the Pauline letters. B, there's the pastoral letters. And C, there are the general letters. And then the last food group in the Bible is the book of Revelation. Apocalyptic literature. Now, you've all seen the food pyramid, correct? You have a base, and then you have 2 groups at the second level, and then you have 2 groups at the third level, and then you have the 4th level of the pyramid. In no way do I mean to minimize or maximize certain food groups in the Bible. But just to make this easy for us to understand, when you think of the spiritual food pyramid, I want you to think of it this way. At the base of the pyramid, I personally would put 2 food groups. I would put the Pentateuch, and I would put the Gospels. I believe with all of my heart that the foundation of the Christian life is the first 5 books of Moses. Until you nail down that God is our Creator, who took nothing and made everything, and then we blew it, but loved us enough to redeem us back to Himself, call a nation into existence, and from that nation promise a seed who would bless all the nations of the earth. I just don't ever think you're going to be as spiritually fit as you ought to be. On the same par, in my mind, with the Pentateuch and the base of a Christian's life. I mean, we're talking about this is the bread and the cereal. This is the carbohydrates. This is where we derive our energy from, is the Gospels. If the goal of our life, according to Romans 8:28-30, is to be like Jesus Christ, and we have 4 portraits of Jesus, don't you think that ought to be foundational in our eating? Because how many times a day do you get in a situation to where you are expected or have the possibility of acting like Christ? And yet the Bible says that Christ was just like us, tempted like us in all regards, yet without sin. And us think we can go through life and not take in the breads and cereals, not take in the carbohydrate of the Gospels. It blows my mind. Now on that second level of the spiritual food group, on the right-hand side, I'd put the letters of the New Testament. All three categories. Pauline, pastoral, and general. And then on the right or left side, looking at the pyramid, I'd put the history of Israel and the history of the church. The reason I would put those two histories together is not because they contain the word history, but because of what the Bible teaches about the correlation between Israel and the church. And how Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, reminds the church at Corinth that these things, talking about the things that happened to the nation of Israel, have been written for our example. So much of what's happened to Israel has been written as an example to you and I, the church. Therefore, it's fundamental that we know the history of the Jewish people, not as a state in our nation, but as the chosen people of God who God chose to form as a nation so that He would bring forth the birth of a Messiah. And from the birth of a Messiah, He would institute His own ecclesia. We must know the history of Israel and the history of the church. And then at the third level, on the right-hand side, I would put the wisdom literature. And on the left-hand side, I'd put the prophets. And then at the top of my spiritual food pyramid, not saying this book is not important. It's like fat. You know, fat's at the top of the physical food pyramid. Fat's good. Fat makes everything taste better. We have a fascination with fats and desserts and things of that nature. And at the top of the spiritual food pyramid, I would put the book of Revelation. Now I want to be totally honest with you. I am probably not as balanced spiritually as I should be, because when I look at the food pyramid, I migrate to the right-hand side. I migrate to the Gospels. I migrate to the letters. I migrate to the wisdom literature. I just got to be honest with you. That's what I love. But when I remind myself that there are more cereals than Frosted Flakes, even though Frosted Flakes is my favorite, I still love Cheerios. While I love the Gospels, I need to spend time in the Pentateuch. And while I love Paul's letters, I got to be honest with you, I've got to read Acts and Joshua through Esther as well. And while I still try to read a proverb every day, I've got to switch over there, even though it's tough sometimes to read Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Lamentations. Now when I open up the prophets, I'm going to lean toward Amos. I'm going to lean toward Jonah. But I can't do that. I've got to eat all of them. And then, from time to time, I've got to make sure that I'm not only looking at now, I've got to make sure that I look to the future. And I know how the future is going to end. Therefore, I place at the top of the spiritual food pyramid the book of Revelation. What are you going to eat? Here's what I say to you. Eat from each of these food groups, not daily, but bi-quarterly. I do not believe you must have a serving of each food group daily in your Christian life. I think that'd be counterproductive. What I suggest to you is this. If you wake up like me early, with a big day and you don't have a lot of time, use breakfast for your devotional. And hold your doctrinal study for when you have the most time. And for me, that's supper. Now what I do is, I graze all day long in two areas. I graze devotionally and I graze doctrinally. From my doctrinal study in the night, I break my fast in the morning with a devotional thought that gets me aware of the day spiritually. And in my devotion, I try to read at least a chapter or two a day. Of a night in my doctoral study, I've hardly ever read a chapter. Sometimes I only have a word or a verse. I try to get in a paragraph. And from that paragraph, I'm studying the great doctrines of Scripture. So I begin my morning in love with God. I end my day wanting to know more about what He's taught me. And then the next day when I break my fast with my devotion, all day long, I snack. Don't really have a lunch. I snack on the Word of God devotionally and doctrinally. Now, last question. How much should I eat? Well, it depends. Intake is determined by outtake. You know this to be true. Many of us are not physically healthy anymore because we eat way more than we burn off. And when you have a tendency to eat more than you burn off, you have a tendency to put on weight. Now, everybody has their own view of what's the perfect body type. I'm not going to get into that. But here's the deal. When you're losing weight, you're burning more than you're taking in. When you're gaining weight, you're taking in more than you're burning off. What we want to do is get spiritually fit and then retain that shape, Christ likeness, which means what? How much are you going to burn spiritually for the Lord? That determines how much you eat. If you're not going to do very much for the Lord, just skip most of your meals and your snacks. Just have a little 5-minute, you know, open the Word of God, get a little bit out of it, and just do what you want to do, which is absolutely nothing for the Lord. If you just want to attend church, you know what I'd do? I wouldn't eat much of the week. I'd just have a one meal plan. I'd come on Sunday and listen to the worship team, and I'd listen to the preacher, and wow, that'd do me the next Sunday. Because I'm really not going to get plugged into the church, and I'm really not going to do nothing for the glory of the Lord. But if you really are concerned about your spiritual health, and you want to take up your place in the body of Christ, and do your part, and be who God's ordained you to be, and that's to grow into the image of Jesus Christ, man, I'd eat breakfast. And I'd eat supper. And I'd get me a big, healthy portion of each. From a devotional and from a doctrinal study of God's Word. Now you want to know sometimes what's the difference between devotionally studying and doctrinally studying? It's a pencil and a paper. You know when you get that egg biscuit in the morning with cheese. I love them. Don't need a napkin. Don't need a fork. Don't need a plate. Just hold it in my hand. Eat it on the go. Supper? I'm sorry. I don't want a sandwich. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody who loves sandwiches for supper. But Salisa knows not to serve a sandwich for supper. There's going to be a meat. And a lot of meat. Sorry for you veggies, but I'm a meat person. And then I'm going to have some veggies. And I'm going to have some carbohydrates. And yes, I love an apple and an orange. But it's going to be mealtime. And there's going to be a plate, and there's going to be a fork, and there's going to be a knife, and there's going to be a lot of napkins, and there's going to be a lot of ice in the drink, and that cup's going to be refilled many, many times. And it's not going to be a drive-thru. It's going to be a sit-down, face-to-face. And that's what you need in the Word of God. It's time when you get your knife and your fork and your plate, you get your pencil and your paper and your dictionary and your commentary and your Bible, and you dig in. And don't limit yourself on time. Limit yourself on how big and strong you're going to grow for the glory of God. And remember, Jesus, when He fed Himself, wasn't feeding Himself for Himself only. He was feeding Himself, why? So that His spiritual fuel could fuel His soul so He could do what His Father ordained Him to do. And that should be your desire. is to, in this life, here, before you die, accomplish what God has ordained for you to accomplish. Amen? Will you right now bow your heads and look at your spiritual diet? For some of us, our whole diet could change. Our whole health could change if we just carry our lunch. Just keep it with you. I've actually, on a few occasions, timed how many verses I could read at a stoplight. And there's that one in Murray where you can almost get in a whole chapter. You'd be surprised how much you can get in at Pizza Hut and El Mariachi by just having your Bible. And as you nibble on your breadsticks and you nibble on your chips, you nibble on God's Word. Yeah, what I'm encouraging some of us to do is to quit eating lunch with people and eat lunch with God. You would be amazed at how to accelerate you on the spiritual growth chart. I promise you, some of us can go from where we are on the 5, 10, and 15% to the 95 to 100 if we'd plan and discipline ourselves to feed on God's Word. Did you hear the psalmist in Psalm 119? I ask you this week to read all 176 verses. Psalm 119. The psalmist used the Hebrew alphabet, the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, to start a new paragraph, a new thought. 176 verses to where he talks about his love for God's law. I think you can apply that as a New Testament believer to God's Word. Well, his mouth panted. He longed for it. He didn't want iniquity to have dominion over him anymore. He didn't want man to get him sidetracked. And he knew the value of God's law in his life. We got to understand the value of the Word of God in our life. We have got to become, once again, what we used to be known as Baptists, and that's a people of the book. In the near future, I'm going to teach you how to become a chef in God's Word. So you don't have to buy a frozen entree, take it home, warm it up. But you can actually learn to marinate the meat of God's Word. You can learn how to season God's Word yourself. Boy, I pray you desire a balanced diet. I pray you'll consider our spiritual food pyramid. Question this morning is, why should we eat? When should we eat? What should we eat? And how much? And I pray you now know. Father, thank you for this time with your people. Father, I pray that there's a desire to be healthy. I pray that we not forget that genetically we have you as our Father. So on the spiritual side, we didn't inherit any defects. There's no genetic disorder. Only order spiritually in our life as a new person in Christ. Jesus is our brother. He modeled for us how to live life in the flesh. And you have placed your Holy Spirit within inside us, telling us that greater is He who is in us than He who is in the world. So genetically, Father, we have the capability of becoming like Christ. The question is, will we eat right? Will we chew our food? Will we regurgitate and redigest over and over until we get every ounce of nutrient out of the passage, the verse, the word, the thought, the chapter, the testament, the book? Oh, Father. And then, Father, over the next 3 weeks, empower Chris next Sunday, Corey the Sunday after, and me the Sunday after that, to lead this church to develop spiritual exercises. Because when you have the genetic capability, if you'll eat right and exercise right, wow. Wow, Father, that thought just blows my mind of who we can be for Your honor and Your glory. And Father, if we could get every person here this morning chewing the cud, we'd be a contented church, just like a contented cowherd. And Father, how You would use us to bring honor and glory to Your Son's name. That's our desire, Father. Father, we praise You in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to not only preach Your Word this morning, but to hear Your Word. And I pray, be challenged to look forward to what this year holds each day of this year. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.